W2DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Canadian officials say a high-altitude object was shot down over the Yukon on Saturday, marking the third time within a week foreign or unknown objects have been shot down over North America. Canada says it's working to recover the object. Meanwhile, the same is true in Alaska following the downing of an unknown object on Friday.
The Pentagon confirms the military is working with the FBI to recover what they can of the object, but Arctic conditions are making that operation treacherous.
ABC's Ty Hernandez. Ukrainian military officials warning that a major offensive by Russia could be imminent. This comes ahead of the one-year anniversary since the start of Russia's full-scale invasion. WNBA star Brittany Griner making just her second public appearance since being released from a Russian prison in December. Griner joined fans at the Phoenix Open golf tournament on Saturday. Across the Phoenix Valley, meanwhile, fans ready for today's Super Bowl between the Chiefs and Eagles. This is ABC News. After 2 years of decline, federal health officials say the number of deaths by suicide has gone up again.
The number of suicides in the U.S. increased to 48,183 in 2021. CDC says that amounts to an age-adjusted rate of 14.1 suicides per 100,000 people. Those rates were highest among non-Hispanic American Indian or Alaskan Natives. When considering age, the suicide rate for all racial groups between 25 and 44 went up by 5%. The CDC says suicide is preventable under a comprehensive public health approach. People in crisis can get help immediately by texting or calling 988. Ryan Clark, ABC News.
A large pet bird that's normally native to Australia caused a ruckus south of Boston on Thursday after escaping from her home. The emu, which is the second tallest bird on Earth after the ostrich, got loose and led police on a chase through Brockton. The bird was eventually subdued and is back in her pen. I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Go by any construction site in Wisconsin, you're going to see a lot of Michael's trucks. Since 2014, they've had more than $1 billion worth of contracts with the state government.
A large part of those coming with Foxconn without any results in that area.
Do we want a governor who might be giving his brothers the contract? I think he needs to answer that before the election.
We'll just kick that one down the road. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But of course, Michael's corporation would get to build that said bridge.
Listen Monday through Friday from 2 to 3. It's Dueling Tangents.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
It makes me smile and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh, oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes,
on the Devil's Radio.
Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Saturday night in Madison, Wisconsin. Hello, everybody. Hello to everybody listening around the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. So happy to have your ears. Welcome to Live in the Devil's Lair here on Max Inc. Radio, sponsored by Salvatore's Tomato Pies. Three locations in Madison, Monona Drive and Livingston Street. There's pizza, then there's Sal's. Order your tomato pie right now at salvatorestomatopies.com.
Jimmy Michael Massey is a composer, singer, songwriter, pianist, performer, and producer who has a story to tell. He has written or collaborated on over 350 rock, pop, country, and instrumental songs, as well as a score for a full-length Dracula rock ballet. He has 5 award-winning solo albums, along with numerous Addie, Telly, and Wave Awards for excellence in original music for advertising. But a long time ago, in a music scene far, far away, there was a band called Chaser who chased the music industry's golden dragon, but for the singer, it was a dark path that followed What do you do when you've gone through hell? You write a book about it and you perform in the Devil's Lair on Max Inc. Radio. Michael Massey, welcome to the Devil's Lair, presented by Salvatore's Tomato Pies.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
We're so happy you are here. Wow.
You didn't have to dress up for me. I mean, you could tux. Rocker's got a tux.
I always wear a tux.
The evening gown.
I have
Terry's
my gown
wearing,
on. You know. I got my hair done.
Yeah,
the whole
deal.
This is fun.
It's a concert.
It's going to be. Okay, I am so amazed by what you have done. You released your first book. It's called...
No, wait. My only book.
Stop.
There's not going to be a second
you
book.
Never
what?
Know.
Never say never.
A sequel. Come on,
you
man.
Have so much going on. You may find room for volume 2 and 3 and 4. So we'll see. We'll go with right now your first book.
Okay.
It's called More. And it chronicles your coming of age. How about that? Life in rock and roll and a descent into alcoholism and your ongoing recovery. Is this correct? 29 years of recovery?
29 years.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's start by finding out more about you, Michael. Tell us about your history and your discovery of music in general.
Well, like most people, like rocker standing to my left. I mean, when you're a teenager and you discover the music that's happening, it's an epiphany. It changes your life. At one point, I realized young, probably 15 years old, that music was going to be my vocation. I knew that that's what I was going to pursue. So it does change your life. And the friendships that you cultivate in your first bands are things, and in my case, still friends, lifelong friends.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
Wow.
How old were you when you started playing?
15 was the first band. I started playing piano at 14. I took piano for a short period of time as a fifth grader, and my teacher said, when I went to my lesson, that's not what's on the page. I said, I know, but it sounds better.
So, oh, that is so good.
So she didn't want to teach me anymore. So, and yeah. So.
Did your parents play a role with your musical upbringing, or did you kind of get into this all on your own?
Well,
and did they support you?
Two parts to that question.
Yes.
The classic music that my parents played, and what was on Top 40 radio as I was growing up, they had an extensive album collection of classic country and pop that was happening. And if you think about AM radio, you know, of the late 60s, early 70s, it was like XRT. I mean, it was just amazing. You'd have the Carpenters, then you'd have B.J. Thomas, then you'd have Led Zeppelin. Oh. On an AM station. So that's, you know, that's how I came to that confluence of flavors. As far as supporting me, my parents supported me financially, but not until 2006 when I played an album release show at the High Noon. Did they get it?
Oh, wow.
I mean, all my life I was playing and doing this and doing that and coming close to this and doing that. And then we sold out to High Noon for that album release. And they sat there and went, oh, wow. Okay, this is what you want to be doing.
Wow.
It was 2006. I was 40, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
48 years old.
Okay,
something.
I find that amazing. Can we get to the music? You guys ready?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear a song. By Michael Massey. And yes, he is in The Devil's Lair, presented by Salvatore's Tomato Pies. This first song you have is called Hang On. The song was written in a pawn shop in L.A.? Okay, tell us about this before you play.
1987, I was visiting a friend of mine who lived in Hollywood, West Hollywood. And I was walking home from his house to my home, to my hotel from his house. And I met a gentleman on the street that had all of his belongings in a shopping cart. Mm. And he asked me for some extra change. And I gave him everything that I had in my pocket. And the next day I found a pawn shop with a cracked sidewalk out front and a cheap keyboard in the window. And I wrote the song.
Oh,
that's awesome. Let's hear it right now. Michael Massey.
Walking the streets of the city alone tonight, hands in my pockets, staring straight ahead. The billboards say what's hip, what kind of clothes to wear, when all I'm worrying about is trying to find a bed. Standing on the corner, got my world in my hands, and I'm so far away from home. If you had an extra quarter, would you help me out? If I told you it would only be a loan. Hang on, hear the children say, did you ever feel like running away? Hang on, hang on, tomorrow will be a better day. Laughing in the shadow of the Hollywood sign, I stand here on my own. With God's grace, He showed me a place I left behind. It's the love and the life and the friends I have at home. Maybe next time I'll find this world I sought to pretend. Time just give me more to say. It's a long, long road to travel, but I'll find my way. You gotta keep getting stronger every day. Hang on, hear the children say, did you ever feel like running away? Hang on, tomorrow will be a better day. Children say, did you ever feel like running away? Hang on, tomorrow will be a better day. Hang on, hear the children say, did you ever feel like running away?
Michael Massey live in the Devil's Lair, Max Inc. Radio. Don't forget, if you want to check out the show again, you can check out the archives or the replay, rather, tonight at midnight, tomorrow at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. on the Civic Media Radio Network Rocker.
Okay, Michael, tell us about Chaser, New York City, and what nearly getting signed to Atlantic Records felt like. There was glory, but there was also disappointment. First, tell us about the glory. There's a great story about a kid working security backstage at a Jethro Tull concert that led to an audition with a record executive. How did this all go down?
Yeah, you can't make that stuff up.
No kidding.
You just can't. Tony, our drummer, Tony Trunilia's dad, was head of security at the Coliseum, and so he would employ us to be security guards, all 5'10", 145 pounds of me. So I was guarding Ian Anderson's dressing room and then standing stage right. And there was this gentleman that was wearing a suit coat with a Chrysalis Records lapel pin, and I walked over and introduced myself, and we chatted for a while, and then I said, hey, I've got this band, because that's what you do. And that's what you did then.
Oh, yeah.
And as fate would have it, Jethro Tull was off the next night, and we had a gig, and he stayed in town and came to see us. And he said, after seeing a show, if you guys can write and perform with that kind of energy, I want to be involved with this project.
Wow.
So it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. And he gave us insight and direction that was just priceless.
As a young musician, that had to just throw a bunch of adrenaline your way, you know, and give you a lot of confidence.
Yeah, it really did. It really did. But then also we realized as he got us involved with everything that was going on on the coasts as far as musically, we realized how far we had to go.
Ooh.
How far we really had to go to catch up to the people where we wanted to be on those big stages.
Yeah, tell us the next part of this. Then going to New York City, in pursuit of that record deal with Atlantic.
That was 3 years later.
3 years later.
After literally.
And this was with Chaser.
Yes.
Yes.
So
yes.
Chaser was... was kind of a local band here.
Yes.
To give everybody a little background.
Yes, please do.
And you guys achieved a little fame when it went for Atlantic Records. Tell us a little bit about Chaser and then tell us about going to New York City in pursuit of this record label.
You know, you talk about being 19 and 20 years old and having that dream that everybody has that gets in a band when they're 18 years old. You're chasing that brass ring. And we worked our butts off. We our agency was GMA out of Minneapolis, which we affectionately called the Good Mileage Agency, as opposed to the Good Music Agency.
Oh.
But we played 250 days a year get to that point, and a lot of one-nighters, some 3 and 4 nights. We had Des Moines, Iowa was a great city for us. It was a home away from home.
So you're a regional touring band based out of Madison.
Yes, yes. And constantly writing and constantly perfecting those things. And nothing perfects music like playing it night after night on the road, because you experiment and you try different things. Oh, that didn't work, so you don't do that again. But you try something new, and that made the song better, so then you incorporate it and keep it going forward. So nothing makes your music better than playing it all the time.
Yeah. Now take us to New York.
Atlanta came to see us. We played the precursor to Freak Fest, which was Halloween on State Street in 1980.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yep.
I've got a photograph from the stage. I've got a photograph from the stage from that night, and it's literally heads all the way to the Capitol and from building to building. It was unbelievable. They estimated there was 100,000 people there that night.
Yeah.
And Atlanta came to see us that night. So it was a good night for them to see us. So they said, we're on board. Let's do a demo. They came and worked with us that spring. We went to New York in June of 1981 and did 6 songs in the studio. And it was great. We came back from there. Jonathan Little played our song Camp It Up on Z.
Mm.
Even though it wasn't a record, he put it on a cart and played it in maximum rotation. And he told us it would have been top 5 for the year.
Oh, that's 81. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's the way radio should be.
As far as requests. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you end up rejected.
We end up.
I'm sorry.
It happens to all of us.
We've all been rejected, but this one really kills me. Oh, dear.
The story turns out there was a band called Kix that was, I think they were out of Boston.
Yeah.
I've heard of them.
They were good.
Mm-hmm.
They were a really good band. But as it turns out, unbeknownst to us, those guys and we were kind of vying for the same record deal. So we were both doing demos. And they were going to choose between the two of us. And they didn't choose us.
So. Jimmy, delete all the Kicks.
Yeah.
They're dead to
us. Gone. Bye-bye. Okay, you have more music for us.
So. I do.
Thankfully. This is so good. This is Michael Massey live in the Devil's Lair, presented by Salvatore's Tomato Pies. This song is called Tears Disappear. Tell us about this song before you play it for all of us.
This is quite possibly one of my top 2 favorite songs I've ever written.
Oh, wow.
It was written for a friend who was going through a really, really hard time. And I just kind of took her story and gave her some autonomy and gave her some power in it.
Okay. We are getting ready right now. We're going to hear Tears Disappear, Max Inc. Radio, and here is Michael Massey.
She's long away from home. The waitress pours her coffee, wondering what she left behind and if she's running. Her eyes are on the window, staring through the memories she calls her life. She asked me for a light. She said, did you ever feel the rain upon your face until the tears disappear without a trace? Voice is but a whisper. I thought I caught a glimpse of Mona Lisa in her smile, like I knew her. She said, "You don't have to sleep with me to be my friend, so let me stay the night. We'll laugh at life a while. Did you ever?" Until the tears disappear without a trace. We talked of our tomorrows while the storm outside swept away our sorrows and our pain. And in our sweet surrender, passions reach the sky. She told me there's no need to know her name, 'cause she's not about to fall in love again. Waking in the shadows, although the scent of her remained, I knew she'd gone. She left a note beside the door. It read, "Nothing ever changes. I always wish that I could find more time to say goodbye." It read, "Did you ever feel the rain upon your face until the tears disappear without a trace? Did you ever feel the rain until the tears disappear without a trace?"
Nice.
Wow.
Michael Massey live in the Devil's Lair here on Max Inc. Radio and Civic Media. That was awesome, Michael.
That was
thank you.
Incredible.
You know, so you know, I was sitting here listening to your story about the about Chaser getting signed, or you know, almost getting signed, getting the devil done, going to New York, having all this fun. But there's a dark side to this, and that all kind of led to alcoholism for you. Tell us about that story.
Well, when you're a 19-year-old rock singer and you're playing in clubs across the country, beer and liquor are free.
Pretty accessible, yeah.
Yeah. So,
they still are.
They still are. But it went beyond that. I mean, I speak about in the book about there was probably not a gig that I did without some level of alcohol in my system from 1978 to 1993.
Wow.
So it became darker in subsequent bands. Boys in White, I started, was a band that followed Chaser that had a good degree of success as well locally with radio airplay. And we did Star Search in LA, the show Star Search.
I remember that show.
Ed McMahon. Oh, yeah. But that's when I started bringing bottles with me to different gigs and hiding bottles in my bag. And yeah. So, you know, eventually I was drinking around the clock. I was drinking to be normal. I was drinking to stop shaking. If I didn't have any alcohol in my system, I would be nauseous and just not even able to function. So,
you know, this is
this is a common story in the world of rock and roll, or just in the world of entertainment for musicians, artists, even, you know, movie people and stuff like that. You would think there would be some sort of warning label with that.
We all walk a crooked line, Jimmy.
Yeah, we do. So how were you able to climb out of the alcoholism and the alcohol pit? Tell us about your rehab. And you actually went to rehab with your wife.
No, not with her. She threw me out of the house.
At
the end. And so I was living with a friend of mine who was as bad or worse than I was. And I stood in the second story apartment looking at the parking lot and saw a car burning in the parking lot. And I called the fire department, and it took them a half an hour to get there or so. And the fire department was two blocks away because it was a bad neighborhood and they didn't really care too much about it. And I came to that conclusion at that moment. I literally had the epiphany, and I talk about it flipping the switch in the book. I was going to quit. I was going to stop. And I called Robin and said, can I come home? And she didn't let me come home that day. She made me stay 2 days away to make sure that I could remain sober. Fully five days after I stopped drinking, I went into severe withdrawal and had hallucinations and ended up in the ER.
Wow.
5 days in inpatient care, intermediate care, which is one step down from ICU. And then 15 days inpatient treatment. And I never looked back. I flipped that switch. I wanted to change my life. I was tired of being a slave to that substance.
But the addiction was still there. And it was, you know, does it still haunt you? Does it still kind of call you?
Where's some wood to knock on? Here we go.
Yep.
I talk about myself being in an ongoing recovery. And I didn't even tell, I haven't told anyone this. This is a secret. I haven't even told my wife this. It was just a couple days ago. I was driving through Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, and I looked to my left and I saw Trollway Liquor on Main Street in Mount Horeb. And I had this momentary flash of being in that store. And I had this flashback to what brandy felt like going down my throat.
Oof. Wow.
And it's been 29 years. I don't think that anybody is ever out of the woods. I think that you really need to remain vigilant if you want to retain that sobriety. I think it's always around us, and especially in the state of Wisconsin. Let me be clear, though, that I'm not a preacher. You know, I'm not that kind of guy that says, oh, gosh, no, you shouldn't drink. Nobody should drink. No, that's not it at all. Mm-hmm. My book is more designed for people that are struggling to show them that it's possible when you are just as dark as you can possibly be. There is a way out, and you can find it. So
that's incredible. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you very much. It's a powerful story. And, you know, hopefully, I guess, you know, if just one person takes solace and gets and takes your advice and gets help, I think that's a win for everybody.
I have already gotten emails and messengers from people that have bought my book or gotten it as a Christmas present and have told me in emails that they've reevaluated their relationship with alcohol because of it, and to thank me and thanked me for writing it. So it's already doing good. You know, my goal is to get it more widespread, and we'll see.
Inspiring.
It is. Michael, stand by just one second. We're going to pay some bills real quick here. Have a drink of water. And you're listening to Max Inc. Radio live in the Devil's Lair, Michael Massier. Stand by. We'll be right back.
Series beer and great local music. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
This is Rocker, and I bet you didn't know I was a realtor. I just joined up with Weikert Realtors Lake Point on Atwood Avenue. Join us for an open house and art show on Thursday, February 23rd, with free snacks and liquid refreshments. Six local artists are featured, including Catherine Capilaro from Disco Superstars VO5. It's the Weikert Realtors Lake Point Open House and Art Show, 2045 Atwood Avenue, February 23rd. For more information, find us at Weikert-lakepoint.com.
Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Canadian officials say a high-altitude object was shot down over the Yukon on Saturday, marking the third time within a week foreign or unknown objects have been shot down over North America. Canada says it's working to recover the object. Meanwhile, the same is true in Alaska following the downing of an unknown object on Friday.
The Pentagon confirms the military is working with the FBI to recover what they can of the object. But Arctic conditions are making that operation treacherous.
ABC's Ty Hernandez. Ukrainian military officials warning that a major offensive by Russia could be imminent. This comes ahead of the one-year anniversary since the start of Russia's full-scale invasion. WNBA star Brittany Griner making just her second public appearance since being released from a Russian prison in December. Griner joined fans at the Phoenix Open golf tournament on Saturday. Across the Phoenix Valley, meanwhile, fans ready for today's Super Bowl between the Chiefs and Eagles. This is ABC News.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold, 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
We have a full hour with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Yes, thank you for having me. So glad to be in studio.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
You know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you are a union member or a business owner, picking up your garbage has no partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, always on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's in mind of Jean of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's in mind of Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
You're listening to local music from Wisconsin. This is Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Happy Saturday, everybody. Welcome back to Max Inc. Radio, live in the Devil's Lair, presented by Salvatore's Tomato Pies, Sun Prairie, Monona Drive, and Livingston Street here in Madison. Order your tomato pie right now at salvatorestomatopies.com.
Jimmy, we're back here with Michael Massey, a local musician turned author who's written a tell-all memoir on his life in rock and roll, More, and it's called More. And it's a story of getting knocked down, but also of getting back up. Mm-hmm. Michael, there's rehab, and then there's early recovery, but tell us about this stage making a comeback.
I'm sorry, we're not going to talk about early recovery.
All right.
Sorry.
Whoa. Was that part of what we were already talking about?
Okay, that's fine. But early recovery was really hard to get into.
Yeah.
I mean, it's coming out of rehab and then being a completely different person. I'm sorry, I thought that's where we were going with that. My fault, rocker.
No, that sounds right. It really does. Let me jump into this next part then. You know, the 29 years, that is incredible. I feel like maybe you've been given a new purpose and you're exploring being so creative, which you already were. Do I dare ask, can you still have fun on stage while you're sober? Jimmy, cover your ears.
Yes.
Okay, cover your ears, Jimmy. But I think, you know, tell us more about how it feels to feel this new purpose and creativity. And I have to say, I saw your getting back together with Chaser a couple of years ago. It was incredible, and I can't even imagine what it was like when you were not sober.
One of the major objections that artistic people have to cleaning up, yeah. one of the major objections they have to getting sober is the fact that they are convinced that creativity is going to go away.
Mm.
The creativity is going to quit.
Yeah.
And that could not be farther from the truth. Early recovery, you know, besides trying to find your way in the world again, all of a sudden synapses started firing more powerfully and you're seeing things more clearly and the creativity just exploded. So as far as having fun on stage, oh gosh, besides the fact that I can remember all the songs that I sang, it's a whole different feeling. Initially, it was hard to talk to an audience. Because being with them and partying all the time, it was easy to talk to the audience. But then I found myself searching for things to say to them. So that was a little bit awkward to begin with. But no, once you find your footing, there's no better feeling than performing and feeling that adrenaline sober.
Oh, that's so great to hear. Okay, so I cannot wait to hear this next song.
Mm.
We are getting back to the live music. Michael Massey is here with us live, and we are in the Devil's Lair, presented by Salvatore's Tomato Pies. This next song is called Breathe. Is this by chance one of your favorite songs? And is it true you have never performed this live, and you have agreed to premiere it here with us?
It's a world premiere, guys.
Ah!
Yeah, yeah. All right. I just love this melody,
oh.
and it's been around. The song's been around for over a decade, but I've never played it live. I've never had occasion to with different bands and different shows. But
here we are.
It's about it's about losing an epic love and coming to grips with that.
Mm.
And we all have.
Mm-hmm. Michael Massey.
Darling, you promised me if we ever grew apart, we'd do it honestly. Now you leave me standing here outside the door, wondering if it was make-believe. And you came into my heart, owned me from the start, showed me how to love, taught me how to breathe. So hard to keep pretending, for we once knew it's never ending. A peace of mind comes from knowing love, going back, looking back. Our love was like no other, and you came into my heart, owned me from the start, showed me how to love, taught me how to breathe, came in from the cold, made my half a whole. I never felt alone. I'll miss you. Ooh, I love you, and I always will, but it's time for letting go, time to live again. And you came into my heart, owned me from the start, showed me how to love, taught me how to breathe, came in from the cold, made my half a whole, and never felt alone. I will miss you. My heart owned me from the start, showed me how to love, taught me how to breathe. We laughed at right and wrong. You saved me from the dark. You didn't see my scars. I will miss you.
Wow.
Beautiful.
I think I found a new project for you. Can't you picture that as a movie theme? Or how about you take it to Broadway?
Okay. All right.
I could see that just being...
Hook me up with that, Terry.
I know. Yeah.
What screenplay or what play are you thinking, Terry?
I don't know, but I think it should be based around the song.
Or something with vampires?
Oh, okay. You go with that one. I know where you're headed.
Actually, I was going to ask you about Vampires Ballet and the Overture Center, but honestly, I want to hear about his new band.
Oh, good. Okay.
What is your new band called?
Generation Jones.
Wait.
This is the way you're supposed to say it. Oh. Kyle Henderson said,
"Okay,
Generation Jones."
Ooh.
Cool name.
Sassy.
Who's in this band? You have some all-stars.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. Heck?
My lifelong friend, Michael John Rip on guitar. Mm. Kyle Henderson of producer's fame on bass and vocals.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Del Marks, the illustrious, amazing artist, is on keys and vocals as well. Mauro Magellan playing drums, who toured with the Georgia Satellites
in
86.
Mauro.
And then you got little old me.
Oh, stop. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
It's kind of like one of those all-star bands.
There's no non-all-stars in that band,
right? No
it's
kidding.
Amazing. It's so much fun.
And look how you are just smiling. I'll describe your face to our listeners since they can't see you, but biggest smile on his face right now talking about that.
It's amazing.
So what is it, rock and roll, blues, little pop, or what?
It's going to be all of the above. It really is.
Well, of course.
You know, we're going to do some producers. We're going to do some Satellites. Oh. We're going to do some Chaser. We're going to do some of Shawnee's songs. We're going to do, and then we're going to write. But, and then underneath of that, we're doing Bowie. We're doing Cheap Trick. We're doing Fleetwood Mac. We're doing.
So you're going to make a little money with the.
Exactly.
With the
exactly.
There you go. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, when can we look for...
Well, the first gig is May 11th at Toffler's in
New Glarus.
I'm writing
it down right now. May 11th.
Yeah, and I think we might be too late to hit Rocker up for Atwood Fest.
Ooh,
but,
you never know.
Maybe not.
I had to say that on record.
That was good. That was
Rocker's turned sweaty profusely there for a second.
Yeah, he's like...
Oh no, man! I love to see new bands. You know,
so good. Do we go back to the Vampires now? Because I still want to hear about this. This was an incredible project that you took on.
It's one of the most amazing things I've ever been a part of.
Tell us the name and where this all
Dracula
began.
A Rock Ballet. Yes. W. Earl Smith, who was the artistic director of Madison Ballet, had always had a vision that he wanted to do a rock ballet. To the story of Bram Stoker's Dracula, not pop culture vampires, but the actual story from his, I think it's 1897 novel. And so we held very closely to that storyline and 90 minutes of music I wrote for that. And
wow.
He used to come every Tuesday and we would work all day long. And he would give me the idea of the choreography. And then I would think, okay, well, how about something like this melodically? And then he'd come back the next week and I would have that kind of fleshed out and it would be a yay or a nay, and amazingly only one piece got a nay out of all of that work. So it was, and we did it at the Overture Center, Capitol Theater at the Overture Center in 2013 and 2015, and we took it on the road to Oshkosh in 2015. Sadly, we were scheduled for St. Louis. We were going to tour the company, and the bottom kind of fell out of financially of things, and it was very disappointing.
Yeah. Oh, you must have been so proud.
But we'd still like to mount it again.
Ooh.
It's a timeless story. So, and then the music is just rock and roll. So, I mean, it's not going to go out of date.
Okay. Watch for that. All right. More music?
Yes.
Let's get back to live music with Michael Massey in the Devil's Lair, presented by Salvatore's Tomato Pies. The next song you have for us is an important song. Get a life.
I like it.
Was it yourself ordering yourself to get it together?
No, it was everybody else ordering me to get it together. I wrote this song towards the end of my drinking career. And interestingly, it is probably the song that I've written that got most airplay as a solo artist. It was in maximum rotation on Triple M in 2006.
Wow. Michael Massey, here he is.
And I've never played the intro the same, so we'll see what happens here.
Oh, okay. This is fun.
Thank you. hole. I've been in and out of everything, anything superimposed. Morning spat reality, music for my clothes. Everybody said, oh, get alive, oh, get alive, oh, get alive, oh, got to get on board. Friend became a doctor, sister Art Nouveau. Pastor in divorce proceedings under everybody's nose. Jerry, father's business closed. Cronkite just retired. Warhol's prices froze. Everybody said, oh, get alive, oh, get alive, oh, get alive, oh, got to get on, get on, get on.
Michael Massey live in the Devil's Lair on Max Inc. Radio. Hey, don't forget, Max Inc. Heavy's coming up at 10 o'clock tonight. I've taken over the show from Rocker tonight. I'm driving the spaceship.
I know. We've been laughing about this all night.
And
it'll be great, I'm sure, Jimmy.
It's going to be awesome. I guarantee it.
Hard act to follow here, though, with Mr. Michael Massey.
No doubt.
Michael, tell us about some of your accomplishments and awards, and do you have any that like really stand out to you? You've won so many.
You have.
Let me say one thing, that when you win an award, you think that it's going to change your life. You think, oh my gosh, my phone's going to ring off the hook, and I'm going to do all this work. No, that doesn't happen.
It's like your birthday in a way.
Yeah, kind of.
You know, on Facebook, you know.
Kind of.
Yeah.
You know, people always, the cliche pat answer for that is that, you know, you don't really care too much for awards, but it really does give you some sort of a vindication by your peers. And if it's voted by other musicians and things. I think the award I'm most proud of is the Pop Album of the Year for Attack of the Delicious in 2006, because it represented for me coming out of being a stay-at-home dad for a decade and getting back into performing again and writing.
Was that Obama?
I think so.
Okay.
It was a lot of things. It was a Madison Area Music Association Award.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you said Obama. Why did I think?
What?
It was an Obama award.
Yes, it was a Mama Award. It was a Mama Award. Sorry.
Mama Award. Okay.
I'm not hearing. It's all those years of playing on stages. That's why I can't
that's
hear.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Hey, another thing that you do, I find so amazed when I have had the chance to see you do this. You play the dueling pianos.
Piano fondue.
Do you love that?
It's so much fun.
Yeah, I thought so.
It is. It's a mindset of being an entertainer as opposed to being an artist. There's a It's a dichotomy.
It is. It's different because you really have to drive everything, don't you?
It's all requests. We never know going into a show. We never know what we're going to play.
That's with
given song.
Is that with Lo Marie?
No.
That's at the top of State Street, right?
That's the Ivory Room. That's the Ivory Room. But Piano Fondue is the company that I work for, and we've got a traveling show.
I see.
Yes. And we go everywhere. Okay.
Yeah, you do. You have been everywhere.
We go all over the Midwest. We did a wedding in Florida last year. So, you know,
that's awesome.
It's amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
It becomes all about the audience. It's all about the audience having fun, and that's what that show is.
Yeah. I've been lucky to see you do that, and it's just... Oh my gosh, it's really fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've seen me train wreck some songs then?
No, not at all.
Yeah, because,
oh my goodness.
Because on any given night, we're playing stuff we've never played before.
That's what amazes me.
Where are you usually dueling with?
Oh, we've got four people in the company. Jim Ripp, Mike Ripp's brother, Jim. Josh DuPont and Francie Phelps are the owners and CEOs.
Oh, some great names. Yeah.
Tadas Nahorniak, who's an amazingly accomplished composer and musician in town. So, yeah.
Yeah. Piano Fondue. If you get
Piano
a chance,
Fondue, yeah.
Check it out. All right, you guys, this is the big question, because we've been talking about the book so much and we want more people to have the opportunity to read it. Where can we find more information about you, of course, but then how do we purchase the book?
Well, MikeMassyMusic.com mm-hmm. is my website. I don't have the ability to purchase the book yet on my website, but it's on Amazon.com, More a Memoir. It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's on LittleCreekPress.com. It's everywhere. It's in some bookstores locally.
Yeah.
I'm hoping there was a gentleman in radio in the late 70s, early 80s here named Mark Coppola, who's now in New York, and he's very illustrious in the radio community. And I've reached out to him to try to help me also get some farther reach as far as interviews.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We'll see what happens with that.
You deserve that. Yeah. You did a book signing recently in the Madison area, and mm-hmm. it looked like it was packed. How did that feel?
It was fun. It was very much fun.
Yeah.
It made me realize how easy it is for me to talk about my life, as evidenced by this hour going by like in a snap.
It has. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Ugh. We feel so lucky that you've been here with us tonight.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm the one that's grateful. Thank you so much for having me.
Jimmy K, do we need to go to the next song? Is it time?
Let's squeeze in one more song at least. We might have room for a second. We got about 8 minutes here.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I would like to play this song. This song is entitled More.
Yes, tell us about it.
It was written in 2014, and it's autobiographical.
Oh.
And it's a very poignant and powerful song, and it's hard to play. It's difficult to play.
Why is it hard?
Because I get for this more than writing the book. When I play this song, I feel all of the different emotions that I've gone through. But I had some odd titles, working titles for the book. One of them was "Used to Be Almost Famous." Was one of the. one of the titles for the book, and then there was something else. I forget the other one was even worse. But my wife said, "No, I think you should call it More." And I looked at her and I said, "Done."
So do they sort of go hand in hand?
They do. It's
yeah.
This is a synopsis basically of the book.
Mm.
The song is, even though the book came after.
How about that?
That's hearing it right now. It's Michael Massey live in the Devil's Lair on Max Inc. Radio.
My life in tatters, bleeding, pouring on the floor, drowning what control I have left. Cracks that lie in the ceiling mock me to the core. Darkness steals my soul. I'll never laugh again or sing as loud. I'll never play that song to adoring crowds. I'll never dream as big or breathe as deep. I'll never feel your love raining down on me. There's got to be more. I live between the shadows, don't know what is real, or if I can believe what I see. Help me find an answer, show me how to heal, teach me how to grieve. I'll never laugh again or sing as loud. I'll never play that song to adoring crowds. I have no love to give or the will to weep for what is lost. Guilt is killing me. There's got to be more. Searching deep inside through twisting passageways to find the man I was before.
throw away the bottle and the mask it made, to find my calm before the storm, to find a tree, unlock the door. I found the key unlocking more. I know it won't be easy changing what is past, finding who I am again. If happiness is fleeting, I'll take it when I can and give it second chances. I'll laugh just as hard, sing just as loud. I'll play my songs to a mindful crowd. I'll dream just as big, breathe just as deep. I'll feel your love raining down on me. I'll laugh just as hard, sing just as loud. I'll lie down in the grass to see faces in the clouds. I've got love to give, and pride is my reward. I'll open up my eyes, see what was here all along. More.
Ooh, wow.
Wow.
I can understand why you say that's a hard song. That you can just feel the emotion.
Yeah, I couldn't
from
look
that.
At him. I could not look while you were playing.
It it's takes just, a lot out of me to I play bet. That song. It really does.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you so much. Michael, thank you for coming in tonight.
Wow, no it's kidding. Been,
this, you're right. This hour went by so fast, and it always does.
Too fast.
It really too fast.
Let's do another one.
Tell us, I wish we could.
Yes,
but
we will.
And Kevin's
we will
coming
soon.
Up. Yeah. Tell us what's on the calendar. Immediate attention for the fans.
Well, Generation Jones. Actually, my calendar is a little bit lax right now because I'm having wrist surgery on February 21st.
No.
45 years of pounding on pianos,
wow.
Just as hard as you can pound on pianos. Turns out it causes arthritis.
Oh, gosh.
So.
Well, we will be sending you really good vibes and all of that.
But
yeah.
In April, I'm playing the Ivory Room again. I'm playing Piano Fondue. Generation Jones is going to be rehearsing. And I'm going to be promoting the book. I'm going to be putting together a presentation to go out and promote the book and multimedia and music and humor. And so there you go.
Oh, my gosh.
Awesome. Here, check this out. It's Kali Hollenderson. Since he's in the new band. Keep
nice.
Us posted on the new band. And when you get music, we want to hear it here
oh,
on Max
please.
And Karina.
Absolutely.
Please,
absolutely.
Please.
Thank you so much,
oh
you guys,
gosh.
For having
we
me.
Appreciate
love you.
Love you
so, so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this segment of Max Inc. Radio tonight. Live in the Devil's Lair, presented by Salvatore's Tomato Pies. There's pizza, then there's Sal's. Salvatore'sTomatoPies.com. And well, I guess we'll see you next week. I have Max Inc. Heavy coming up. I have a lot of good music. I got an essential last crack, but more importantly, I've kicked Rocker out. I'm taking over.
You look so sad over there.
Oh, I get to get off at 10 o'clock
I
tonight.
Know.
We're out. I'm coming home, honey.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.